Okay, we're going to the book of Numbers tonight, Numbers chapter 19. Fourth book of your Old Testament, Numbers chapter 19. You'll see when we start reading here, you're probably going to think to yourself, what in the world? However, you've heard this before, you need to have a real solid understanding of the Old Testament to better understand the New Testament. And your understanding of the Old Testament is highly dependent on your understanding of the New Testament. So they're different, obviously. But all of God's Word is given by inspiration, isn't it? Is that Genesis? And that's Revelation. That's everything in between. Even, as I mentioned Sunday night, some of these things in the book of Numbers that you scratch your head at why they're in there, God has them there for a reason. So I will read a passage that there is so much to this, but I actually will only focus on one part of it. And maybe we'll come back here and do a whole lot more down the road. But we'll read starting in verse 1 down to verse 10. You've probably heard mentions by, at least Bible believers will talk about, the red heifer. That's what this chapter is about. Numbers 19. So I'm not actually focusing in on specifically the red heifer tonight, but something that's associated with this whole ordeal here in Numbers 19. So let's read the first 10 verses and I'll narrow it down for you. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood, with her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Isn't that odd? Let's keep going here. I'll come back to verse 6. Verse 7, then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. Okay, those of you who have been reading the Bible for a while, you probably already know this, but I know I didn't know this at one time. Verse 7 and verse 8, at the end it says, until the even. What does that mean? Okay, make sure we got that. Until the evening. And even is the way it should be. It's just a short way of saying evening. Don't we shorten things? Don't we shorten words? Sure you do. So it's fine that it's like that. But I want to clarify. Even is evening. All right, verse 9. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even, and it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. Now let me ask you a question. Are all those details in those first 10 verses really necessary? Yeah. You better believe it. It might seem a little strange. It might seem a little odd. You might be thinking, that's a lot of detail about sprinkling the blood. This thing in verse 6 about the cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. You say, is all that necessary? And the answer to that is absolutely. Those Old Testament priests from the tribe of Levi, they were to look at what God told them to do. That's why they had it written down. And obey every detail in order for things to be done the way they should, so that sin could be taken care of. Amen? Okay, so let's focus in on verse 6. Verse 6, you have three things mentioned here. And again, here I am, my Bible reading, and this verse just got my attention, so I thought there's something to preach on there. Verse 6, it says, and the priest shall take three things. Number one, cedar wood. Number two, and hyssop. Number three, and scarlet. And cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. So you know me. I look for places that are outlined for me whenever I read the Bible. And there's three things right there I can do a Bible study on. You see that? You got the cedarwood, hyssop, and scarlet. And when I read that, I thought, time out. I can connect, and you can too. I can connect all three of those things, the wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet. I can connect those to something associated with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Can you? If you can, great. If you can't, that's why we're doing the study. So hopefully either way, you'll get something out of this. Maybe you'll see some things you hadn't quite noticed before. So tonight we are going to take a look at the first thing, the cedar wood. Why is it that there's cedar wood here? And this is an obvious one. What was Jesus Christ crucified on, folks? A cross that was made out of wood. So I could just end right there, but we still have 23 minutes left, so I can't do that. So let's take a look at some more details about wood in the Bible. So, and we'll make, as we'll try to do, I try to do this. I know I used to not really care about this, and then as I get older, I realize it's very important that we get personal, practical application, not just get puffed up with, oh, I know more than I did last night. So I'll do my best to show you some of that in connection with Jesus Christ and your salvation. So if you would, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Now, this is not, as I often do, I go to the first mention of a word or a phrase or a subject. This is not the first direct mention, but you'll see that there is a mention of something that is associated with wood. So I will not tell you the first point yet. I'll save that, but we'll read a little bit, and then I'll tell you what the first point is. We'll have three things tonight that are connected with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that are associated with wood. So Genesis 2, verse 9. Verse 9, it says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every what? Tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." Notice the two trees. The tree of life, also in the midst of the garden. And second tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so we find out in verse 9 that there are two very, very important trees in the Garden of Eden. And we actually get more on the differences here in verse 16. If you go down to verse 16, Genesis 2. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Okay, so we get a real warning concerning trees. Folks, why? Let's make sure we're on the same page here. Why am I taking the time right off the bat to talk about trees? Because trees are our source for, more specifically though, wood. We get wood from trees. Yeah, you guys are thinking a little deeper than that. Yeah. Back off a little bit. Trees are where we collect wood. Anybody ever chop wood in here? All right, so trees are where wood comes from. So I know it's not a direct mention of wood, but we know that wood comes from trees, so we got to take a look at the first time we have anything associated with wood. And lo and behold, we've got two trees there. Now, if you go down there to Genesis, go down there to chapter 3. Skip over to chapter 3. I'm skipping where Adam and Eve eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They partook of the tree they were not supposed to. And look what happens here at the end of chapter 3:22. Genesis 3:22. "And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." Now watch this thing in verse 24. "So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the..." Notice the wording here. It's really neat. "To keep the way of the tree of life." If you were able to find the tree of life today, could you access it?
No.
How come? The Lord's protecting the tree of life, isn't He? Now, real quick, right off the bat, let's make a real neat connection here. Sin entered the world, and death comes as a result of sin. And the first sin was from partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, correct? After they partook of that tree, God said, I can't let you partake of the tree of life, because what would have happened if they would have? This is really something to chew on here. If Adam and Eve in their sinful state had taken of the tree of life, they would be alive today. And they'd be the most disgusting creatures on planet Earth. We would say, you should have died. And they would say, yeah, we know. But they wouldn't be able to die. So the Lord said, if they partake of the tree of life, they would live. So He makes it so they can't. So this way, death actually occurs some 900 and some years later, in, at least with Adam. So notice there's two trees, and that tree of life is guarded. So keep that in mind there as we go over to the New Testament. This will be a quick one here. This first point, wood is connected with sin, specifically the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now you say, why did you spend time talking about that other tree, the tree of life? Because that has nothing to do with sin, does it? Right? Tree of life has nothing to do with sin. We all agree with me on that? Okay, let's make sure we got that. Go to 1 Peter 2. Let's see if we can connect some dots. You ever do connect the dots when you're a kid? You know that they have books for adults now that have hundreds and hundreds and maybe even into the thousands of dot-to-dot connect the dots? And it takes you a long time to do all the dots, and it's actually really neat. Here's the thing to remember when you connect the dots. When you connect the dots on the dot-to-dot page, before you connect the dots, you look at it and you say, what is that? I don't know what that's going to be. That's why you have to connect the dots. So when I say connect the dots, what I'm trying to tell you is draw a line from something in the Old Testament to something in the New Testament, and when you connect the two together, you go, oh, I see it now. It's clear. But you have to connect the dots to do that. Does that make sense? So connect the dots. And the dots are all over your Bible here. So we had the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We had the tree of life. Go to 1 Peter 2. Take a look at this. Verse 24. You probably know this verse. Well, let's connect. 2:24, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who His own self bare our sins in His own body, where? On the tree, on purpose. Your Bible, in English, it's translated as tree. The Lord wants you to connect the dot between sin entering the world because partaking of the fruit of the wrong tree. But also, look what it says here. This is about Jesus Christ, and it says, He took our sins in His own body, and it doesn't say cross, it says tree on purpose. Connect the dots. And then it goes on to say this, His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should do what? What's that next word? Should live life alive, live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So connect the dots. Wood is not mentioned directly there in Genesis 2, but trees come from wood. And you need to understand, when Jesus Christ died on that tree, like it says right there, yeah, it was wood, came from a tree, He paid the price for sin. I'm looking at a bunch of sinners. If I look in the mirror, I'm a sinner too, so I'm right with you. But Jesus Christ died for sinners so that sinners might have, help me out, eternal life. You see how that thing in the garden, you've got death associated with partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but then you have this other tree, the tree of life. Remember over there in Genesis it said to keep the way of the tree of life? How about that wording? To keep the way of the tree of life. Christ died in a tree so that we might have life. John 14, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Connect the dots? Isn't that cool? So, first thing about wood here tonight, and I know it's an indirect mention here with the trees, but there's something connected with the crucifixion when you see wood in Numbers 19 associated with sin. Christ paying for our sins being on that tree, that piece of wood. Does that make sense? Okay, let's go on. Are we ready for the next one, or do we need to stop for a minute and think about it? Okay, good deal. Thank you, Brother Martin, for permission there. All right. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 6. So again, make some connections here. And you ought to, a couple things ought to occur here. Number one, you look at your Bible and you say, what a book. David said in Psalm 119, I stand in awe of thy word. That ought to be the case every time we open up the Bible. You are in awe of what God has given you. All right, the other thing that ought to happen is you ought to see some things about yourself. So from that first point, you ought to know, and you need to be reminded, if you're saved, what were you saved from? You're saved from sin, eternal damnation. That's what Jesus Christ did so that you did not have to suffer the punishment of sin for all eternity. So, good little reminder. You say, but I hear that all the time when I come to church. Good. Isn't that a good daily reminder of what Jesus Christ did for me and you? You should never get to the place. If you ever get to the place where you say, no big deal. What's wrong with you? Your spiritual temperature is way down on the cold end, wouldn't you say? So let's not get to that place. Go to Genesis 6. Here's the second thing. Now, this is actually a direct mention of wood. It's not cedar wood, but it's a different kind of wood. Genesis 6. Go over to verse 13. 6:13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now watch 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And then a bunch of very important details about the construction of the ark. So this ark, I believe on purpose, so that we would connect the dots, that ark is made out of? Made out of wood. I know that we had cedar wood in Numbers. This is gopher wood, but wood nevertheless. Okay, go to Genesis 7. Let's take a look at something else with this ark. Now, Noah spent a good chunk of time building that ark exactly as God told him to. But that ark was pretty worthless unless it was used. And you better believe it was needed. So look at verse 12. Genesis 7:12. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in, notice that, they went in unto Noah into the ark. It's very important wording. Two and two of all flesh wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. Now watch this little detail. And the Lord shut him in. So he makes the ark, but it's of no value unless they get in. Don't miss that word. Unless they get in the ark. All the animals get in. Noah, his sons, their wives, Noah's wife get in. And at that point, once they are all inside the ark, what happens? The Lord closes that door. So once they're all inside, the door's closed. And once they're inside, the rain comes. And watch what happens. This is really neat. Verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. And watch this little detail. Watch it. And it was lift where? Up above the earth. I'll come back to that in a second. Look at verse 18. The waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the earth, whole heaven, were covered. And it goes on to tell you how high it was in verse 20, and then verse 21. And all flesh, what happened to them? Died. What's the difference between the animals and Noah and his family inside the ark and every animal, every person outside the ark? Outside the ark, there's nothing but death. And it's the judgment of God, right? Guess what happened inside that ark? That ark was the only place on planet Earth where it was safe. So here's the second point. Wood associated with sin, we saw that. How about also associated with safety? And let me get more specific on that. For Noah and his family, they weren't safe unless they were, help me out, inside the ark. Now, God did not tell me and you to build an ark, did He? Told Noah to build an ark. But there is a place of safety that you must make your way in. So let's go on to the New Testament on this. Go to Romans chapter 3, a couple verses here on this one. Wood associated with sin. Wood associated with safety with Noah and his family, but also for me and you. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 24. Romans 3, speaking of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, it says in verse 24. Actually, look at 23. Find out if you're saved what you were and then what the Lord did. 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, this is why the Lord did what He did on the cross. 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Now, notice the wording. That is, what's that word after is? In Christ Jesus. So my question for you tonight is, are you in Christ Jesus? Are you in Jesus Christ? If you have a Bible program, you use it to search. If you can do that phrase, there's a couple phrases. In Christ or in Jesus Christ. Paul's letters, I think just about every one of them, somewhere in the first few verses, he tells you who he's writing to the church at Corinth, Galatia, all that, and he says something about in Christ, indicating that all saved people have something in common. All saved people, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you were placed in Christ. So, something for the anti-Calvinist crowd. Are you a part of that crowd? Okay, amen. All right. So, people say, well, you have to be one of the elect. Right? Guess who Jesus Christ elect is? I'm sorry, guess who God's elect is? Jesus Christ. So if you're in Christ, you are part of the elect. You just got to get in Christ to be a part of that crowd. You don't have to be selected by God from these people and that people. It's a matter of get in Christ and you are a part of the elect. So, Noah and his family, they had to get in the ark to be safe. Hey, for me and you, we have to be in Jesus Christ. That means be saved. And you're not just safe. It's more than that. You are safe and secure. You're saved, Bible word, for how long? Forever. Amen? So that ark, Noah's ark made out of gopher wood, place of safety. A better place of safety is being in Christ. How is it possible for Him to be the safe haven? Well, it all goes back to what He did in dying on a cross, which just happens to be made out of wood. You see the connections here? So that details about that red heifer. Now next week we'll hit the hyssop, and you talk about some really neat stuff with that. Then we'll hit the scarlet, which, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So hopefully you're connecting all these dots as we go. It's really neat. But we got one more we got to cover. We got 4 minutes to do it, so we're doing good on time here. That wood is connected with sin in your Bible, with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin and death, and then Christ dying on a tree. And it's also connected with being a place of safety. And if you would, go back to Genesis 22. Let's get the last one here. I kind of already said it, but let's get some Bible on it. Genesis 22, you'll see a mention of wood here that probably everybody's seen this one before, but I get a kick out of reading this every time. It's really neat. Genesis 22, this is God giving Abraham a little test here. It's actually a temptation because there's different types of temptations in your Bible. This one's a test. This one's not tempted to sin. This is just a test of Abraham's faith. If you look at verse 1, Genesis 22. Y'all there? Everybody there? Okay. I know sometimes I go too fast. Genesis 22, 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. A lot of neat connections here. And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. This is neat because only son. Does that remind you of anything? Jesus Christ, God's only begotten son. In fact, book of Hebrews, Isaac is called Abraham's only begotten son. It's neat, that wording over there, on purpose. His son, whom thou lovest, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Christ. God's love for his son, yet he sent him to die for the sins of the world. Okay, and then it says offer him there. Where does it tell him to offer him? On a mountain. You think of anything connected with a mountain, with Christ and his crucifixion? What's the name of the mountain? I heard it over here. Calvary. Only in your King James Bible, by the way. Calvary. So if you would, go down to verse 4, or verse 3. Let's keep reading here. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. Now watch it. And Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Notice there's wood there for a sacrifice, an offering, and that offering is to be a Abraham's son. And then if you look at verse 4, even more connections here. Verse 4, then, on what day, folks? You think that's on purpose, or you think that's on accident? See, the Holy Spirit records these things on purpose to get your attention, to connect these things to something that Jesus Christ did. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And then verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now, I'll save time here. You know what happens here. God stops Abraham from offering his son. There's a ram caught in the thicket here. But if you notice verse 9, skip down there and read this. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. Watch this. And laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isn't that wild? Are you getting that picture in your head? Abraham puts his son on the wood for the purpose of offering him there as a sacrifice. Isn't that something right there? The altar is mentioned there as well. So all those things, the bell ought to be going off in your head. Just, wow, connect the dots there. But the last point I want to mention here, that wood is connected with sin. That wood is connected with being a place of safety. That wood is also a sacrifice, connected with a sacrifice, obviously made by Jesus Christ. So look at this one. Go to your New Testament on this one. John 19, two places here. See if we can wrap this up here in the next couple minutes. John 19. John chapter 19. Something associated with wood and the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ. John 19, go down to verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, what was that made out of? That cross made out of wood, his cross. You say, how do you know that? 1 Peter 2 said, his own sins and his own body, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Here it is right there, the cross. He, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Now, let me stop here. In verse 17, when you read that, who does it sound like is bearing the cross? Help me out, somebody. It sounds to me when I read verse 17 that Jesus Christ himself is bearing the cross. Well, your skeptics like to go over to Luke 23 and say, there's a man that was told to carry Jesus' cross. There's a contradiction. If you're saying that's Jesus, over there in Luke it says, was it Simon Cyrenian, I believe? We have a Bible contradiction. How can you trust your Bible? Easy answer. Did Jesus bear his cross? Did Simon bear the cross of Jesus Christ? Jesus carried it some of the way. Simon carried it some of the way. Problem solved. It's easy as that. See how the skeptics try to make a make something out of nothing, just try to get you to doubt the Bible. But I remind you that because some people will go that direction. But there it says Jesus. So I picture Jesus Christ carrying that cross. And then look at verse 18. It says where they crucified him, Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was Night of the City. It was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. So he is on that cross, lifted up, just as he said he would be. So in order for him to be lifted up on that cross with that title above him, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, he would have had to have been nailed to that cross. That means they would have had to place his body on the wood, except they went a step further than Abraham. Abraham was stopped. He was going to take a knife and kill his son. Well, Jesus Christ stays on the wood. They take hammer and nails and drive them through his hands and his feet so that when the cross is lifted up, Jesus Christ... Now, are you ready for this? Brace yourself. When he is lifted up, he is hanging on that cross. He's hanging on a tree. Where do we start tonight? Wow. That cross, Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins. He became the sinless sacrifice. So last place we'll go here. Go to Philippians 2. Just one last thing here on the cross, obviously made out of wood, and what that sacrifice does for anybody who will believe that Jesus Christ died for them and call on him to save them. Look down there at verse 6. Philippians 2. Look at verse 6. Talking about Jesus Christ. At the end of verse 5, mentions in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And if you look at this, it's a progression down. He's God, and he always remains God. He never is taken away from being equal with God. He is God manifest in the flesh. But what does he do? He comes down from heaven. He makes himself of no reputation. He becomes a servant. He's in the likeness of men. You see this humbling. Here's the thing you've got to remember. He's still God. But he humbles himself willingly. And then look at verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Let's go even lower here. And became obedient unto death, even the death of... You want to talk about the cruelest death that he could have died? It took place on a cross. The Romans were masters of torture. When they crucified men on the cross, it wasn't, let's put you to death. Let's make it quick and easy. It was, how long can they suffer? And for Jesus Christ, do you remember how long he suffered on the cross? How many hours was it on the cross there? 6 hours he suffered on that cross. Six just happens to be the number of man in your Bible. Interesting. And on that cross, he paid the price. He became the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for your sins and for mine. And isn't it a great thing? Now think about where we've been tonight. He paid the price for your sin, first point. He paid the price for your sin so that you might be not just safe, but saved forever. And you ought to be reminded regularly that you do not need a sacrifice because the price was already paid, as Hebrews says, once for all. Amen to that? Now, you're probably scratching your head when we read Numbers 19 saying, where's he going with all this? So we got the wood tonight. And by the way, I just barely scratched the surface. You go all through your Bible, so many things about wood. Guess what the Ark of the Covenant is made out of? Wood covered with gold. You've got a natural side, or you could say, if you're going to connect the Ark to Jesus Christ, a human side. Then you have a divine side, the gold. What's the streets in heaven made out of? Gold, not just any old gold, but gold unlike you ever see down here. You can see right through it. It's transparent. So you see how this thing runs all through your Bible. It's really neat. So something to chew on, think about. I'm over time here, so let's pray. And if you want to chat a little bit afterwards, if you got something turning in your head, glad to do that. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just showing us the incredible treasures of your word. They are just always fresh, and this book that you've given us, Lord, is inexhaustible. We'll just never get to the place where we know it all. I pray that we would even take some time here tonight and the days ahead to digest the things that we went through tonight. We sure want to just thank you for the real solid reminder that we see tonight about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. I pray that we would not have things in our lives ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we would truly put you first, Lord, and realize the great price that you paid for us, and we are so undeserving. And we just pray for your guidance, your direction for all of us here tonight, and we just pray for protection as well. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.